Maryville. KXCV time is now 6 o'clock, and we head to downtown Maryville for Carson Sportsgrove for the Bearcat Coaches Show.
Hey, and good evening, and welcome to another edition of the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show. I'm John Coffey, alongside with Matt Quarter. And we got an hour, hopefully coming up, of sports talk here concerning Northwest Missouri State sports, our final show of the season. And Matt Quarter, as we take a look at some of the spring things going on, it's been a busy week or so with a lot of different activities going on, not only on the Northwest campus, but around the region with Northwest Athletics.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I tell you, it's really neat this time of year to cruise through campus and hear the pings of the bats, whether it be baseball or softball, practicing or in games. And then also hearing the pads with the football team in the middle of spring drills. And, you know, tennis is hard at it. You see track with the track athletes. You see them, of course, on the track, but all over town as well with the distance runners. So it's just a neat time of year, this time of year, with all the different sports that are either practicing or playing right now.
And you look at Northwest Tennis, they're down in Bolivar today. They've got matches with Harding University, a regional opponent there that's been doing real well, so that's a pretty big matchup there. Track and field coming up this weekend, the Bearcat Open, which will be home. So you've got that. And then baseball today over at Bearcat Field, Northwest baseball team, and NMIAA action with Leonardwood. That baseball team's been doing much better this season, coming up some pretty big wins.
Yeah, they have. Got themselves above 500, both in conference play and overall, and that's been a plus. We've seen them split a lot of series on the road and then get some series wins at home, which is exactly what you need to do during the baseball season. A lot of games played in a pretty short span, so you don't really have a lot of room or a lot of opportunity to have some downtime. So they've been playing some pretty consistent baseball, doing it both with pitching and hitting.
And softball, we've seen softball do well. They stopped the Missouri Western 16-game winning streak here earlier this week as they split a doubleheader with Missouri Western, and seen a number of players of the week coming out of the softball team here.
Yeah, both the hitter and pitcher of the week this week, and then when you look at that split of the doubleheader, that loss, they're only lost in six games, you know, so they're playing some great ball right now. They're over 500 in conference play, which is really what you focus on, you know, early part of the season. Still below 500 overall, but you look early on in the season when they were playing their non-conference games, when they weren't practicing outside, that sort of thing. It was a little bit tougher to get going, but the important part of the schedule is the conference schedule, and they're playing well in the MIAA so far this year.
They go on the road for, I think, eight games now, but they've done well so far, and see how they do when they go on this long road trip.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it really, when you look about those road trips, you want to at least get a split. It'd be nice to get a series win here and there, but if you can get splits in different series when you're out on the road in the MIAA, you've at least got a chance to make that tournament and maybe make it as one of the higher seeds as well if you can get those splits and then get the wins at home that you're supposed to.
Now, we've also be talking football today as the spring football season is underway with spring practice for Northwest Missouri State. They've had a few practices under their belt coming back from spring break, and we'll talk with Adam Dorley, coach of the Bearcat football team, coming up here in just a little bit about that and the spring game coming up later on. But so far, weather's doing holding off pretty well for the football team.
Yeah, that's right. You know, they had got started, got a little bit of a break for spring break, back at it again this week now that they're back from spring break, and had some great weather, good opportunity to get a lot of evaluation done. Did some scrimmaging today. They'll have, as you mentioned, the full-on spring scrimmage coming up here before too long, and really a good opportunity for them to get a lot of evaluation, especially of younger players. I mean, you've got your established players that you know are probably going to contribute, but spring ball is really for the younger players to get an opportunity maybe to earn some snaps, especially early on in the fall season.
And again, we are broadcasting from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville, our final show of this season. As, again, we've been here through the football and basketball seasons, and again, we've had a chance to preview spring sports as well. A reminder that support for the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show comes from the Student Body. Screen Printing and Embroidery, now located near the northwest corner at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Student Body provides Bearcat fanwear, custom screen printing, and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation. And support also comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699. We're back and hear from the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Adam Doerle, about Bearcat spring football. That's coming up right after this timeout on the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for today's broadcast comes from McDonald's in Maryville. McDonald's is a proud partner of Bearcat Athletics and is open 24 hours. Located on South Main Street, McDonald's late night menu offers limited breakfast and dinner items from midnight to 4 a.m. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nucor LMP in Maryville, producing steel parts that are used in agriculture, oil production, and the auto industry. Nucor would like to remind you not to text and drive. Don't let your last text be your last words. More at Nucor.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Bearcat Lumber on East 1st Street in Maryville, providing windows, roofing, siding, and doors for new home construction, as well as materials and plans for outbuilding shops and garages. More at 660-562-0300.
Support for today's game comes from Southpaw's Veterinary Clinic in Maryville, offering medical, surgical, and dental care for small breed pets. Southpaw's encourages responsible pet ownership and preventative health care. More at 660-582-7387.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bolin Auto and Truck Parts. Services include brake and suspension work, as well as a driveline facility. Bolin Auto and Truck Parts, located at 10th and Mitchell in St. Joseph. Family owned since 1951. More at 800-292-6546.
Today's broadcast on the Bearcat Radio Network is underwritten by Edward Jones Financial Advisor J.R. Kurz, offering retirement and investment advice on the Maryville Square at 119 East 4th Street. More information available at 660-582-7196.
Busy time of year for you at spring football. We're back on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, talking now with head coach of the Northwest Missouri State football team, Adam Doerle. And AD, busy time of year for you at spring football underway, and how have things gone so far?
Really good. I've been really pleased with our kids' effort, their attitude, and just feel like our kids are buying into what we're doing. We're playing with great second effort right now, practicing with second effort, trying to use a lot of energy in practice and just getting our young guys to believe in what we're doing. We're going to be very young next year, and so the things we're trying to focus on is eliminate major mistakes before the ball is snapped, not turn the football over, and try to play with great effort. And I feel like that's what you got to do with a young football team. And, you know, we've simplified what we're doing on offense and defense just because we feel like we need to a little bit with their young guys. And we're seeing that pay dividends right now. So we've been very pleased. We're going to scrimmage today, and hopefully that goes really well.
Now, when you look at the spring ball, overall, it seems like it's kind of for the young players every year to a certain degree, but is it a little bit more so this year?
Yeah, absolutely, John. It's always for your young guys, but there's just so many more young guys this year. And, you know, we've just been really pleased with our last two recruiting classes as far as the athleticism in both those classes. And so you're seeing those guys really fighting it out for starting spots, backup spots, special team spots. And so just our numbers are really good right now. And it's not just about numbers, it's quality numbers. And so it's exciting around here right now.
And as far as each week during practice, what are some of the goals you have from week to week with the spring ball?
Well, the obviously you do your inserts, offense, defense, special teams, and so you're trying to do an insert with a new play in all facets, and then you know you're going to coach it on the board, coach it on video, and then you want to see it go out and carry over. We talk a lot about drill work carryover, and that's what I really want to see. We put a new play in, and then there's drills that go along with that play that you run in fundamental period, and then you want to see drill work carryover into the team segments. And so I've been really pleased in all facets of guys are learning on the board, learning on video, learning through fundamentals, and then we're taking that into our team session. So certainly not perfect, but what I've been pleased with is I've seen we've had a lot of mistakes at spring ball, but the fact that then the next day we turn around and get them fixed right away, and you know that's a testament to our kids listening. It's a testament to our coaches being very detail oriented.
And are there any players right now that are really standing out that you're pleased with what you're seeing out of them?
Oh, yeah. We've got some young guys that are doing some good things. You know, Jackson Morrison's doing some good things. He's running with the ones at center right now. I've been very pleased with him. He's doing some good stuff. Jamie Tiemann, you know, he was a kid that had a knee injury last year that's come back and doing well. Jordan Harold, Nick Turner at defensive end, and Bobby Grunlow, I just feel like are young guys that have been in our program now 2 years that are starting to step up and shine a little bit. And Najim Hossein, a safety for us, just a great kid and giving great effort and being very versatile right now, playing safety and corner, not making a lot of mistakes. Been pleased with him. So, there's a lot more than that, but those are the ones, kind of some of the ones that come to my head.
And is spring ball also a time for maybe, we talked about a lot of the young players stepping up, but from a leadership standpoint, some of the guys that perhaps have had some playing time, but now they're moving into an upperclassman situation where it's a kind of a time for them to work on some leadership skills as well?
Certainly is, John. It's a spring is just, you know, it's you think about spring and what it means and, you know, growing and the tree, it's the same thing for a football team. It's a time to grow, you know, it's a time to grow with our upperclassmen, underclassmen, but it is. It's a time for those guys moving into those leadership roles to show that, to understand what their role is, to be very positive. And it just is a time as a football team to, you know, revisit your core values, what you believe in, what you stand for, and just totally hash that out again with the kids, consistently talk about it, get the kids to buy in, because, you know, obviously the season started January 12th when we got back, and to just to see the growth from our kids, the buy-in, to reestablish, you know, our identity and recommit to the process that comes with winning football games. So, you know, I always enjoy spring and really, really enjoy it this time of year with the young team.
So also a good chance to see the progress the team has made in the weight room from during the offseason?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we were sat down at Coach Quinlan and we talked. And, you know, I looked at our youth and thought, man, maybe we'd have 30 guys score 300 on our quad testing. 300 is kind of the landmark number you want to get to, and man, we blew it out of the water. We had close to 60 kids get 300 on the quad, and so again, that tells you the number of young kids we have in our football program that are big, fast, strong, explosive, can run, and we just now we got to get them organized and get them on the same page. So we really saw the weight room. You're really seeing the weight room stuff right now. I'm just proud of Coach Quinlan and his staff, because I felt like, you know, they work hard every year, but I felt like they really buckled down and just the accountability that they made our kids have in there, again, just recommitting to the process was great to see.
It really seems like it's kind of an underrated aspect of that work that they do with the kids, because it seems like you see that payoff year after year, that the job that they do there.
They do, and as with the strength and conditioning aspect, the bigger, faster, stronger, probably as important, if not more important, is just the discipline that they bring into the weight room, finishing sets, finishing reps. You know, if you're supposed to run 15 yards, run 15 yards through the line. Just the discipline aspect of it. And, again, just that there's a lot that goes into winning football games. And that's, I think that's what's hard for people to understand sometimes. It's not always about talent. It's not about schemes. It's about your kids, their discipline, their desire to be good, their want to be unselfish, team chemistry. And I just really feel like our guys started off great with that January 12th.
Hey, it's really a year-round effort, isn't it?
It is. It's just college football, college sports anymore, just a year-round deal. And again, you know, there's you got to make it fun since it's year-round. Again, I feel like our kids are having fun with each other right now. I feel like coaches were trying to, you know, make it fun. Coach Quinlan's trying to make it fun. But, you know, just that genuine, our kids are happy to see us. We're happy to see them when they show up over here. It's exciting right now.
Now you've got a couple more weeks of spring ball coming up. What are some of the things, goals you have for the next couple weeks?
Well, we scrimmage today, and then we'll scrimmage next week, and then we'll conclude with our spring game. You know, we want to see attention to detail and what we call execution, alignment, assignment, snap count. We're trying to be at 85% as a football team. And so today's scrimmage, I really want to see that. You know, I'm not as concerned about seeing a bunch of dynamic plays on either side. It's more about alignment, assignment, not major breakdowns before the ball snapped or during the snap where we're blowing coverages or not picking up a blitzer. And then the next week's scrimmage, you're going to want, I'm going to want to see, you know, carry over from that, better execution, but probably start seeing, like to see some more plays being made on both sides and special teams. And then when we get to the spring game, it's a little bit different because you break up. But in the spring game, again, you just attention to detail and just really want to see kids compete. And so it's just kind of a building phase into that spring game.
Hey, you made the spring game really a fun event, not only for the players, but also for the fans.
Yeah, we try to. And, again, we're going to try to do that again this year and get people involved and try to have it a little bit interactive. But we really do. We want it to be fun for our kids, fun for the community and our school.
And a good way to wrap up for the kids in particular.
It is. It's a really good time. You just want to end on a high note. And, again, you know, it's something we keep challenging our kids on, building to that thing. And what you don't want to do in the spring game as an athlete is, you know, not perform well and the alignment, the execution. And so we're just challenging our kids, keep building to that spring game. And, you know, we can grade. Not everybody's going to score touchdowns and not everybody's going to have big plays in the spring game. That's fine. It's all about execution and doing your 111th. And I think our kids are really buying into that.
All right. Well, AD, thanks a lot for being with us on the show. And we'll be looking forward to seeing how things work with the rest of the spring ball for you.
Thank you very much.
And that's head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat football team, Adam Dorrell, on the KXCV KR&W Bearcat Coaches Show. We're back and have more for you from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville right after this timeout.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Dion and Jody Roush at Bearcat Lanes and Lounge in Maryville. Bearcat Lanes offers open bowling sessions daily, league bowling, lane rentals for private events, as well as programs for kids. More online at BearcatLanes.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Pizza Hut in Maryville, offering specialty pizzas, pastas, and wings, and a daily lunch buffet from 11:30 to 1 and Tuesday nights 5:30 to 7. Dine-in, carry-out, or delivery is available. More at PizzaHut.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Carpet Plus Bargain Barn on North Highway 71 in Maryville, providing carpet from Mohawk and Shaw, as well as hardwood flooring, tile, laminate, and vinyl. Carpet Plus provides estimates and arranges installation. More at CarpetPlus.com. Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com. Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online. Live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at youngerauction.com. And we're back at Carson's in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show here on KXCV KRNW as we turn our attention to Northwest Missouri State Golf and head golf coach Andy Peterson joining us. Coach, you guys have been able to get into a few tournaments here over the course of March. What have you seen from the team so far?
Well, finally, yeah. It seemed like it took a long time to get to tournaments, but we're improving. Was looking online the other day at stats and history and stuff, and right now we're shooting the second best team score average that we ever have in Northwest since 2008, since they started the program. We're averaging 331 strokes around, which doesn't sound great, but you know, when you're averaging four girls together, you know, four out of five, it's our second highest we've ever had. So we're improving, we're getting better. Our last two rounds out at Kearney this weekend, we shot 334 and then, you know, 228. So improving still. So and that's the main thing. You know, you just got to continue to grind, continue to battle through the elements. Sunday at Kearney was really, really windy for our practice round. So we really didn't get a lot out of that. And then Monday was the same thing, except totally opposite direction. Just straight out of the north on Sunday for a practice round, straight out of the south, 40 miles an hour on Monday. Just really proud of the girls, the way they handled it, just their attitudes, and you know, dealing with everything and coming out. You know, we were sitting in fourth after day one, nine strokes out of first, you know, and that's Nebraska Kearney's home course. And then they showed what they could do on Tuesday. Course was great on Tuesday. Weather was great on Tuesday, and I think Kearney shot a 301 or 300 or something like that. But it's their home course. You know, they're going to. We just didn't improve that second day as much as everyone else did, but continuing to improve, we're getting a little more consistent, so we'll be a little better able to to know what to expect when in that conference tournament.
When you talk about practice rounds on the courses you'll be playing, talk about kind of the process you go through. I'm sure there's more to it than just playing around a golf and then going home.
Right. It's a lot of speculation, kind of. We hit all the tee shots. You know what tee box you're going to hit from. So you hit your tee shots, and you just kind of want to figure out where you're at. If you hit your driver well, if you need to hit, you know, a three wood or something different, so that when you get out in the fairway and you're looking at the green, you've got a shot that you want. The best example is Maddie Probst, our freshman from Lawson. She's just really not comfortable with an 80-yard shot. It's just between clubs for her. She is not comfortable with it. So she is more apt to lay off on that driver and hit a three wood or something and take that 110-yard shot in. Things like that, you know, or look for bunkers, look for hazards, any kind of trouble you can get into. So that practice round is a lot of notes, a lot of just visualization stuff, and then getting a feel for the greens, you know, putting five or six golf balls out there and putting from wherever you might be, you know, if it's down the slope, up the slope, across the green, some chipping, you know, just to see how things break and where the ridges are on the greens and things like that. But it's mainly just notes and trying to figure out where I can go, where I can't go, and how to get around hazards and anything that might get in your way.
So are they keeping like physical notebooks, or is this just kind of more of a mental thing for them?
Depends on the girl. The upperclassmen, Taylor Gard and Ashley Powers, they pretty much just play, and they're just making mental notes. Some of the younger girls do, they make notes on their, we give them a scorecard for every game, or before every round, obviously, and they'll make notes on what hole, what they hit, where they were at, where they need to be, maybe they need to club up or club down, or maybe go to the left of the trap instead of going right of the trap if it's right in the middle of the fairway, things like that. Most of it is physical notes, but you can tell some of the older girls that are a little more experienced with it, they can, or they played the course before. That's another one. Awari Dunes, that's the third time that Taylor and Ashley played that course. So they've been through it, they've seen it, but, the others, maybe it's the first time, so. It is a little more written down paper and pen.
As obviously you played down in Oklahoma, you played in St. Joe's, you mentioned Kearney, where there's always wind pretty much anything west of Lincoln. But how drastically different are courses that you guys play on? I mean, is it night and day with some of these courses?
Yeah, without a doubt. Oklahoma was perfect. It's a different type of grass, zoysia, and then we go out to Kearney and it was Bermuda, and they haven't got anything over the winter that we got in terms of precipitation, snow, rain, anything. I mean, it was like the desert.
Yeah.
Every time we opened the van, it was like pig pen off of the peanuts. I mean, just a puff of dust, And I unloaded the van the other day when we got home, and everything's just covered in just that little film of dust or sand or whatever it is. I mean, it was like playing in the desert. It's hot, central Oklahoma. And then the weather has a lot of to do with it, but when you're dealing with different grasses, and they hadn't even started irrigating out there yet, so the ball's not sticking on the green. You can't make it bounce and stick. It's going to bounce and roll out every time.
Kind of the U.S. Open greens.
Yeah, a little bit. So, and then, in Oklahoma and St. Joe, for that matter, those greens are pretty receptive. They're pretty soft. You can get it to hit, bounce once and stick, or check back or something like that. So, and the country club feel. St. Joe's country club. We're out at Awari Dunes and Kearney, and it's very much like Mazinga. Wide open, huge fairways, big undulating greens with two or three tiers. So, the courses vary as much as towns and colleges and everything else.
Yeah. How is Mazinga in terms of preparing the team for the different places that they go?
I think it prepares us pretty well. The only difference would be I feel like a lot of the tournaments you play, especially since we go south a lot, there's a lot more zoysia grass. And that's pretty much the only difference. Other than that, you can pick things out of Mazingo, certain holes, certain areas that play into whatever, however that course is made. The biggest blessing we have here is the country club. Our girls can go play at Mazingo, which has got the driving range and everything, but if we just want to go play holes and get, like, before we went to St. Joe, we had practice out at the country club, the tree lined, a little tighter, some blind shots, dog leg left, dog leg right, where you don't really get that with Mazingo. It's pretty open. You can see just about all the greens and pins. So you don't shoot very many blind shots unless you're behind a hill or in a bad spot, Whereas, at the country club, you can be right where you want to be in the middle of the fairway. It's a blind shot to the pin.
Right.
just because of trees or anything else. So Mazingo, I feel like Mazingo is a great spot for us just because of how big it is and the different sections of holes. You know, 1, 2, and 3 is a little different. 4, 5, and 6. The par 3s are all different in their own right. Over water, you know, not over water, bunkers and things like that. So Mazingo's got it all, but what it doesn't have is the trees, and we get that out at the country club. So our practices are pretty efficient, in my opinion.
It seems like you can really change up a course based on the tee box that you use, too. So that's got to give you some variety.
Absolutely,
as well.
Absolutely. And even at Mazingo, the, you know, tiers on the green, you know, an upper and a lower level tier, that can get you 2 or 3 club lengths difference just with how big some of the greens are. And number 3 and number 6 come to mind just because they're so long. The greens are so long. If you're in the middle of the fairway looking at it, you know, the front of the green might be 130. The back of the green is going to be 130 or 165, 170. You know, it's a 40-yard long green. And for the girls, that's 2 or 3 or 4 clubs, depending on the girl. So, yeah, you can change it up. And then, obviously, yeah, tee boxes, some of the holes are change it completely.
When most of us think of golf, we think about going out, playing 18 holes, going in, being done. No, with you, with practice, obviously there's playing holes involved with that, but how much of it is just getting out playing? How much of it is working off of the course on, say, short game, on the driving range like you were talking about? How does that vary?
We usually have probably one day a week where we actually play holes at practice. The other 3 or 4 days are on the range, specific irons or hybrid and woods or your driver, and then running over to the practice green and spending a lot of time chipping and putting. And the girls, I don't have to make them do that very often. They pretty much do that on their own, just because they know that that's kind of where, you score is when you get on the green, or especially within 15, 20 yards of the green. That's where you're going to make up strokes or lose strokes. So they work on that quite a bit on their own. I don't have to tell them to go there very often. It's almost more of a, hey, let's go play a few holes. You know, make them go out and do that is more of a battle than making them go to the range and work on things, and making them go to the putting green and work on things. But it's pretty balanced. The only wrench in that whole equation is when we qualify. Obviously, if you qualify, you've got to go play holes. So the tournaments, when we have a big break, like between now and next weekend, we'll qualify again next week to see who, you know, what position, playing positions we're in. You know, they'll play 18 holes. They'll play 9 on Wednesday and 9 on Thursday, and then we'll take the rounds and see where everybody scores and pick what playing positions are in. But other than that, when we're practicing, it's usually range and putting and chipping green, and then play 1 or 2 holes maybe. So
we're talking with Andy Peterson, the head women's golf coach at Northwest Missouri State. We're going to take a timeout. They've still got some action left ahead of them. We'll talk about that when we come back here to Carson's in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCB KRNW.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by Nottoway Valley Bank, now offering its customers mobile banking services. More information is available online at nvb.com or at any of their locations in Maryville, Savannah, Mound City, and St. Joseph.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Maryville Hy-Vee. Hy-Vee is open 24 hours and offers groceries, delicatessen, salad bar, gas, a bakery, floral shop, and pharmacy. More information is available in-store or at 660-582-2191.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville, located at 1528 South Main Street, offering a variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More information available from Shelter agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nelson of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mound City.
Support for today's broadcast comes from McDonald's in Maryville. McDonald's is a proud partner of Bearcat Athletics and is open 24 hours. Located on South Main Street, McDonald's late night menu offers limited breakfast and dinner items from midnight to 4 a.m. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
We're back in Carson's in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show here on KXCV KRNW, talking Northwest Women's Golf with head coach Andy Peterson. Coach, you kind of touched on it just a moment ago. You've got a trip coming up to Springfield, or down to Springfield, I should say, next week.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the last, I guess you'd call it, regular season match before you get into postseason.
Right. It's a Central Region fall preview. So what they've done is, I believe it's Arkansas Tech and Concordia St. Paul have teamed up. Obviously, Arkansas Tech's in the GAC and Concordia St. Paul's in the Northern Sun, the other two conferences in our region. And they've teamed up to host this tournament in Springfield there, kind of a central location, kind of. So, and what they did was they invited the top 15 teams from last year in the region to come to that. So with Cassie Lowell finishing where she did last year in our performance at the MIAA, we got invited to that. We got invited to the one in the fall as well. So it's a great tournament for the girls to go to just because the competition is so high. Obviously, we've done a lot of that this year. You know, we haven't won tournaments like we have in the past. And it's not because, like I mentioned earlier, it's not because we're not shooting any worse than we have. We're just playing really, really tough competition week in and week out. And that'll be another one of those. It's, top 15 teams in the region down there at River Cut in Springfield, which from what the girls have told me, I haven't been there, but, you know, most of the girls have. They love it down there. It's a great course and in a great spot. So we're looking forward to it. But yeah, that's the last tournament that we'll have before conference in Lawrence. So we'll see where we're at.
You know, it's kind of interesting dynamic with golf because again, if somebody thinks about their own golf game, it's such an individual sport. But as you're talking about competition, teams, things like that, really brings on a whole new dynamic to the game.
And that's mainly where I fall in is. You get to a par three, and the first girl that goes through that par three, she hits her 8-iron or whatever. You know, I'm the only one that's allowed to talk to the girls on the course, and that's the main communication they have between each other is from me. So if I'm on that tee box and Brooke goes through and hits her 8-iron, and then here comes Ashley Powers, and she's usually a club behind Brooke, so I can tell her, hey, Brooke hit her 8-iron, and she was pin high or whatever. You know, Ashley's able to make adjustments to her golf game because of the way Brooke played, you know, and there's a lot of different scenarios and situations where that changes and plays into different things with wind. And, you know, some girls, it's the difference is hybrid or an iron it's much easier with Taylor Gard and Ashley and Brooke because they've played so many rounds together. But when you throw Maddie, who's a freshman, in there, or, you know, Taylor Gardner, who's just a sophomore, in there, and they haven't played with Taylor Guard as much, or Ashley Powers as much, so it's harder for them to compare, you know, lengths and clubs to, but it helps. So that's where the team part of it comes in, but also with, you know, you play five and you score four, you know, if somebody has a bad round, that's where somebody can step up and, you know, and I can communicate halfway through the round, hey, you know, so-and-so is really struggling. If you can continue to score well and do well, you know, your score is going to count today. So we need you today. We need you to keep going. Or, you know, so-and-so's not playing well today. You've really got to be a little more aggressive. You know, I don't want you to go for the middle of the green. I need you to go with the pin here. Or, you know, if they're comfortable, if there's no, you know, if there's no hazard or anything like that, hey, this is a spot where we can really get after it and try to make up a stroke or two. You know, it goes back and forth. And, you know, and on the other side of that, hey, we're all really playing pretty well. Let's just, you know, fairways and greens. Don't worry about where the pin's at. Just get it up on there, two putt for your par, and we're going to score well today. So it is different, and it took me a while to gauge that, especially between Taylor and Ashley and Brooke, the ones that have been through it before. It seemed like every time I saw them, they were asking me, oh, what did Taylor hit here? Or what did Brooke do here? Or how is so-and-so scoring? And in my mind, I'm thinking, you need to worry about your score. Don't worry about what she's scoring. You know, you need to. But that's the whole team part of it that's new to me, and I've really enjoyed it. I think the girls enjoy it, but it's kind of fascinating because, like you said, we go out and play 18 holes, and it's our score, and that's it. Or you're playing a scramble, and everybody's right there together. But it's really five separate rounds of golf. Played at the same time with the same goal in mind. So it's a lot of fun, and it's intriguing.
So how do you determine then as the coach where you're going to go, who you know, because they're obviously spread out over the course. So how do you set a course of action?
A lot of that is going back to the practice round, we'll go back and we're, you know, if they can't all decide or they don't all feel comfortable with one spot, and it's usually a par three, that's usually where it's at. But there have been a couple of par fives where it might be reachable, might not, and there's trouble there, whether it's a creek or a bunker or something. And if they just all come to consensus and say, Coach, I really want you on hole number two because of it's a par three, or we really want you on number five at the dog leg, and it's a blind shot, where's the pin, you know. So most of the time it just comes down to practice round and where they're comfortable, where they're not comfortable, you know, if they're all over the place. And some girls it's different too. Brooke would rather me not be there very much. She'd rather play and then just get advice between shots or between holes. Whereas, you know, and some of them don't want me on the green. Some of them would want me to come and help them on the green. Some of them, you know, it just depends on the girl. So there are situations where I'll be running from tee box, from one tee box back to the green behind, or I'll go from the green out to the fairway. Or if it, you know, some courses are set up where there's a green, two greens and two tee boxes right there, and all the girls are coming through at the same time, so I can just kind of roam around between them. And it's interesting. It's changed. It changes from course to course, depending on the layout, but also just where they're comfortable, where they're not comfortable, and, you know, where the, maybe most of the time it's kind of where there's trouble. So
we mentioned the Central Region spring preview. Following that's the MIAA championships. How's the MIAA been so far this year?
It's pretty rugged. Central Oklahoma, Northeastern State, obviously are really good and have been for a long time. Lindenwood has actually really played well this year. They were young last year, and they've just kind of developed over the summer and in the fall, and they're playing really well. Missouri Western's played well the last few weeks. And then the rest of us are kind of all right there. You know, in the last three or four years, I think we've gotten third down there at that tournament, and it's kind of been Northeastern State and Central Oklahoma battling it out, and then everybody else. And we've been pretty fortunate and played well enough to be at the top of that second tier there. So it's gonna be tough. It's a 3-day tournament, which we don't play at all until conference, which throws, you know, like a whole nother wrench in the equation. But it's 3 days down there in Lawrence. Well, you know, it'll be interesting. I'm really looking forward to it just because of the challenge. But I also think at that point in time, we're improving so much week to week and almost day to day, just because we're still getting used to being outside. Like I said, we went to Oklahoma. That was our fourth day outside that practice round. So just seeing the ball fly, seeing it land, having to watch your ball fly, you know, it was all new to us. So the longer we play, the more comfortable we're feeling, the more consistent we're getting. And I'm kind of hoping and preparing for that weekend to be the apex of our season.
I'm going to admit, just before we came on, you made me sad. I always had this picture in my mind that I wanted to be a golf coach so that I could play golf all the time.
Yeah.
And you just told me that's not necessarily the case.
I swung my first club today.
So. See, I just, that totally blows out of the water my thoughts of what being a golf coach should be.
Yes. And you know what? It might just be me and my personality, but I don't know. I just can't. It might be the girls, too. They might be high maintenance, and I don't know it. But.
Well, it might be that's why you're a golf coach.
I'm not.
We view it a little different.
It
well,
could be.
Andy, thanks for stopping by. Good luck here through the next few tournaments through the rest of the spring season.
Yep, thank you. Appreciate it.
That's Andy Peterson, head women's golf coach at Northwest Missouri State. And we've got more coming up here from Carson's in downtown Maryville. When we come back, you're on the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCB KRNW.
Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nucor LMP in Maryville, producing steel parts that are used in agriculture, oil production, and the auto industry. Nucor would like to remind you not to text and drive. Don't let your last text be your last words. More at Nucor.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Bearcat Lumber on East 1st Street in Maryville, providing windows, roofing, siding, and doors for new home construction, as well as materials and plans for outbuilding shops and garages. More at 660-562-0300.
Support for today's game comes from Southpaw's Veterinary Clinic in Maryville, offering medical, surgical, and dental care for small breed pets. Southpaw's encourages responsible pet ownership and preventative health care. More at 660-582-7387.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bolin Auto and Truck Parts. Services include brake and suspension work, as well as a driveline facility. Bolin Auto and Truck Parts, located at 10th and Mitchell in St. Joseph. Family owned since 1951. More at 800-292-6546.
Today's broadcast on the Bearcat Radio Network is underwritten by Edward Jones Financial Advisor J.R. Kurz, offering retirement and investment advice on the Maryville Square at 119 East 4th Street. More information available at 660-582-7196.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Bittersweet Floral and Gifts at 1st and Main in Maryville, offering floral arrangements for all occasions. Bittersweet also offers scrapbook supplies, silk arrangements, soaps, and gifts. More online at bittersweetfloral.com or at 582-5700.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we are broadcasting.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. As we continue on in the program, joined now by the athletic director at Northwest Missouri State, Mel Churchma. Kind of a wrap-up of the way the fall and winter went, and a look ahead toward the rest of spring, Mel. But so far, it's been a heck of a season for Northwest Sports.
Well, it really has, John. We've had a good spring so far. You start with tennis. Our men's tennis and our women's tennis are both very strong. They're both ranked high in the region. I think the men are number one in the region and nationally ranked. And they've played a tough schedule. Coach Rosewall isn't afraid of playing good teams. And so if you look at their record, you say, well, you know, they've got some losses, but they've really played a tough schedule. And I think, I think our men would be favored as far as the conference championship is concerned. Our women are going to battle with Northeastern Oklahoma and Southwest Baptist. Our baseball team has played well. We're young. Got a bunch of young pitchers, two freshmen and two sophomores, and they're four starters. And, they're, I think, one game over 500 now in the conference, and I think they're 500 even. Had a tough time this afternoon. We 8-8 going into the ninth inning, and gave up eight runs in the top of the ninth. So that was a tough loss for them. But they have two tomorrow, and then one on Saturday with Lindenwood, and those are big games for us. Our softball team is coming off. I think they're 5-1 in their last six games. They had won four in a row. Played Missouri Western. Missouri Western was nationally ranked somewhere in the top 15 or top 20, and we beat them the first game Tuesday out here 9-6, and then they came back and beat us 2-0. They're on the road this week. They're over at Kearney tomorrow for a doubleheader, and then a doubleheader at Fort Hays on Saturday. And of course, our track team is we got a big event tomorrow. We have our own invitational track meet here. Hope our fans will come out for that. Field events start at 2:30, and the running, I think, is going to start at 5. There'll be some great competitors there. We had the multi-events last week here. Chloe Wickman scored 52.02, I think, in the heptathlon, which is an automatic qualifier. You don't have many people automatically qualify. She'll be one of the top three or four scores in the nation going into the national track meet. So, Derek Sleater on the men's side had a good score in the decathlon. We've got some really outstanding people as far as track is concerned. And Alexis Boyd placed in the nationals. She was like 11th or 12th in the 400. And she ran over at Emporia last Saturday and finished second to a girl from K-State. She ran real well. Eli Smith, I think, finished second in the men's 400. So we've got some really outstanding people in track and field as well. So it's an exciting time.
You mentioned tennis. I want to go back to that. Coach Mark Rosewell, you mentioned that, you know, he's not afraid of having a tough schedule and going up, which makes an impressive going to be feat even more impressive to me. He's about to reach 1,000 wins, and it's just incredible what he's done with the tennis programs here.
Well, it really is. He's done an awesome job, and, you know, not only does he win, but he wins with good kids. That's what really, I just really enjoy You know, when I coached, I didn't get to know the tennis kids that well. And now I really had an opportunity to really get to know a lot of them. And they're just great young people. And, you know, a lot of them are foreign athletes. But they come here to get an education, and they understand how it all works. And they leave here, and they're part of the family. And I think that's really neat. But, yeah, he's only a few wins away. I think he's at 993 or 994 right now. It looks like he'll either get to 1,000. You know, you can't predict for sure, but next Wednesday we have a men and women's match here with Kearney. He could reach it then. If he doesn't, we play Lincoln here on Friday in a women's match. It could happen then. If it doesn't happen then, it'll happen on Saturday when we play Southwest Baptist at home. So one way or the other, he's going to get 1,000, I think, here in Maryville, which I really think is neat. And where, you know, Rosie probably, I'm not sure if he knows he's close to 1,000 yet or not, but.
No, Mark, I think he probably does. That's
yeah, we probably should let him know just so he's ready for it. But no, it's going to be a lot of fun, and we actually have planned ahead. We are going to do something special once the season's over. It's kind of hard during the season, so we've already set a date, May the 8th. It's a Friday afternoon, and we're going to have kind of a come-and-go open house somewhere on campus. We'll get a lot more publicity out on that, but we want to honor him. That is a tremendous feat, and we're really proud of what he's done.
Well, you did actually pick up a win 995 today with an 8-1 win over Harding on the women's side. That's a pretty good regional win there. Harding traditionally is a pretty tough tennis team.
The Arkansas schools are always tough, and so that is a good win. Now, he's got a tough match tomorrow. Northeastern Oklahoma, I think, is the number one women's team in the conference, and so he's got he goes there, and then Central Oklahoma on Saturday, and so and our men play Harding, I think, tomorrow at Springfield or Bolivar, one or the other. So we got some matches coming up.
Seems like we've talked about a lot of successes through the year and over the years. Do different athletic teams kind of feed off each other when it comes to success? Because it just seems like there's a lot of programs having success right now.
Well, I really think they do. I think our coaches get along so well. And they talk to each other. They share ideas. One coach sees how another one, some of the things they do. Not so much, you know, strategy's different in every sport, but there's some things, as far as team and how you build a family atmosphere and those types of things. I think our coaches really have bought into that and really understand that, and they really they share ideas, and they support each other, and they see how it works. And so and success, I personally believe success breeds success. You have a couple of programs that are successful, everybody else wants to be like that. And you see that, for instance, Rosie, he doesn't have the greatest facilities in the world by any means, but he wins anyway. And so, you know, some of our other sports look at that and say, well, yeah, I don't have the greatest facilities, but I can do it. If he can do it, I can do it. And so I really think that's helped us.
When you look at the success this year, let's go back to the fall of the football program. Again, another successful season through the conference year, and a trip to the Division II playoffs. And any time you're playing football in the end of November, 1st of December, you know it's been a successful season.
Well, that's true. You know, that's kind of where it all started. And our cross-country teams were pretty good this fall. I'm really excited about cross-country for next year. We got to wait a little while, but our men's team could be dynamite next year. We've got some great young runners in cross-country and track. And, Wick Cunningham, one of our sophomores, who was one of our top runners in cross-country all year, ran the steeplechase for the first time in his career at Emporia and set a meet record. He ran one of the top 10 times ever for Northwest. And so, he missed, a national qualifier by a few seconds. So, they kind of got it going. Volleyball had a competitive season. They kind of hit a lull there at the end. But, and then basketball picked up our men's team. If we could have had all of our teams at Sioux Falls to see those first two games, really all three games, and see how a team competes, that would have done wonders for us, because our basketball team, our men's team, competed. It was just unbelievable. You guys were there, and I mean, just to see their attitude and their effort, and you know, we're going to get that going, and women's as well. And, you know, we just we want to keep going.
I know we talk about it a lot in terms of support. You talk about Sioux Falls. I know we were there for that second game well in advance, well, and even for the championship. And we had people coming up to us saying how incredible the crowd was and the following was for Northwest. I think even after the win over Augustana, their head coach in the post-game press conference was real complimentary of Northwest and the following and that sort of thing. And I mean, that's got to add to the pride of the university and athletics to hear them talk about not just the basketball team, but the program as a whole like that.
Well, I it does. And, you know, I think we did it right this year. You know, last year we kind of, it was a long trip to Mankato, and we didn't take our band and we didn't take our cheer group. This year we took them, and I think that added a lot. They had a great time. You know, our band has been very supportive in everything that we've done with football and pep band and basketball. So, you know, we've included all those people, and our fans are great. We know that. I mean, you know, the community, and then, of course, our alumni base is just really awesome, and we've just had a lot of fun. And, you know, I think the neat thing about a lot of our sports is the parents. You know, the parents come, and they their kids are here for 4 or 5 years. It's not like they're transfers. They're here, and they have families, and they get to know each other. And some of them, you know, their kids graduate, and they're still back the next year. And I you know, I think Matt Wallace, I'm sure we're going to see his parents next year, even though he's done playing. You know, I mean, yeah. They just they really enjoy it.
Again, we're talking with the athletic director at Northwest Missouri State, Mel Churchma. We'll be back and have more for you on the KXCV, KRW Bearcat Coaches Show. We'll talk more with Mel right after this timeout as we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Dion and Jody Roush at Bearcat Lanes and Lounge in Maryville. Bearcat Lanes offers open bowling sessions daily, league bowling, lane rentals for private events, as well as programs for kids. More online at BearcatLanes.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Carpet Plus Bargain Barn on North Highway 71 in Maryville, providing carpet from Mohawk and Shaw, as well as hardwood flooring, tile, laminate, and vinyl. Carpet Plus provides estimates and arranges installation. More at carpetplus.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Pizza Hut in Maryville, offering specialty pizzas, pastas, and wings, and a daily lunch buffet from 11:30 to 1 and Tuesday nights 5:30 to 7. Dine-in, carry-out, or delivery is available. More at PizzaHut.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Bittersweet Floral and Gifts at First and Main in Maryville, offering floral arrangements for all occasions. Bittersweet also offers scrapbook supplies, silk arrangements, soaps, and gifts. More online at BittersweetFloral.com or at 582-5700. Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville, located at 1528 South Main Street, offering a variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for today's game comes from South Paul's Veterinary Clinic in Maryville, offering medical, surgical, and dental care for small breed pets. South Paul's encourages responsible pet ownership and preventative health care. More at 660-582-7387.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. I'm John Coffey, alongside Matt Gorder, and Athletic Director of Northwest Missouri State, Mel Churchma. And also, we got Brent Barnett over to our left. He's been giving out some of the giveaways that we have here tonight as well in our final Coaches Show this year. So, again, our thanks to Brent and all the work he's done all season long. Well, we've been talking a lot about the current athletes at Northwest Missouri State and success they've had this season, but it came out yesterday, I think, that the MIAA Hall of Fame induction class in June will include three Northwest Missouri State athletes there that have been a good part of Northwest through the years.
Well, it's exciting. You know, all three of those people that are being inducted are people that I knew and competed here while I was coaching. Obviously, Tony Miles is a special guy as far as I'm concerned. Little guy that came out of Mark, Texas, and I remember when he came on his recruiting trip, he had a little light coat, and it was about 10 below, I think, and he was standing around there, you know, 145 pounds and shivering, and I thought, well, this guy's never going to come, and Coach Tatum got him to come anyway, and what a great career he had. I mean, he is You know, we've had a lot of great return people, but Tony Miles, in my heart, especially punt returns, we don't have anybody like Tony Miles. And he did everything, and he was a great leader. And then Clint Prang, you know, we recruited Clint for football and track. And I remember when he was a high school senior, and he had already signed with us, and he was in some, he had some kind of a farming accident, and he smashed a couple of his fingers on his right hand like 2 weeks before the state track meet. And the guy still threw the discus anyway in the shot put. You know, I mean, that told you what future was going to be for him. Unfortunately, he had some back problems and really didn't play football after. I think he played one or two years of football. But he had an unbelievable career in track. You know, a three-time national champion in the discus. And his senior year, he had an injury. And so he had a, I think it was his sixth year, actually, redshirted or whatever. But you know, he went to the national track meet, won the discus, and then not only won the shot put, but threw it 66 feet, 6 inches or something like that, which is still the national record and one of the best throws in the nation at any level. And so, you know, and a great student. And then Kathy Kearns, as I still remember, Bahonic now. Kathy was a great distance runner, and, you know, that group of female athletes there that track, cross country, indoor and outdoor track and cross country, they had a clean sweep 3 years in a row, which is just unheard of in this conference. And they won, and she was a leader of that group. And you know, she was she ended up being a finalist for the NCAA Woman of the Year. Clint Prang was a Ken B. Jones Award winner. And all three of them are very successful now. So it's really fun to see them being honored.
I thought what was really cool is when you see David Boyce's article talking with the three of them, it was all about how cool it was to be a part of the team, you know. And I know the accolades come if you have that attitude, but that's what it was about for all
well,
three.
Well, you know, and all three of those were part of that, and they were part of great teams. And that, you know, that's the thing that I think that, you know, a lot of our athletes here, most of our athletes here have figured out that you don't worry about the individual things. And I know that, you know, in the success we've had in football, we never talk about being an all-conference player or being an all-American. Those things happen. If your team's good and if you do your job, some of the, you're going to get those honors. And if you don't, that's all right too, because the important thing is being a part of that team and the team success that you have.
Well, no, we really appreciate all the help you've given us through the year with the coaches show and just all of the other side things that you do to help out our broadcast and all the coaches that take part in the show every year. And the student-athletes, it's been fun to get a chance to know a lot of the student-athletes a little bit better during the show here. And I know we wrap up this year's edition of the coaches show here, but all the work that the athletic department does to help make this show a success, we certainly appreciate.
Well, thank you, John, and I want to thank you guys and KXCV. This is great for us. It's great for our student-athletes. I mean, our coaches get a lot of opportunities, and so it's good for them to promote their programs, but it's really great for our student athletes to, and you guys do such a great job of you know, interviewing them, and you're easy to talk to, so they're not intimidated, and it just makes it a lot of fun. And I think you know, it's enjoyable for you because you get to know them, but more than that, our fans get to know them, and that's really important. So thank you.
I think it's just good to know we didn't scare any of them off. That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, all right, we'll be back and wrap up this year's final show of the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show right after this timeout. Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Maryville Hy-Vee. Hy-Vee is open 24 hours and offers groceries, delicatessen, salad bar, gas, a bakery, floral shop, and pharmacy. More information is available in-store or at 660-582-2191.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by Nottoway Valley Bank, now offering its customers mobile banking services. More information is available online at nvb.com or at any of their locations in Maryville, Savannah, Mound City, and St. Joseph.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More information available from Shelter agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nellison of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mound City.
Today's game is being underwritten by St. Francis Hospital and Health Services at 2016 South Main in Maryville. St. Francis services include emergency care, surgery, mammography, and obstetrics. More information is available at stfrancismaryville.com.
Support for today's game comes from Tri-State Ford in Lincoln at 2017 South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the area a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at tristatefordlincoln.com or at 660-582-3677.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show as we wrap up this evening's program and this year's edition of the show here from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. And Matt, we've got one more broadcast coming up for this spring anyway. That's in a couple weeks here on April 18th, Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. It's the annual Northwest Spring football game that we've been broadcasting here the last few years. And that's always a fun time. We talked a little bit with AD earlier about that. But it should be a great opportunity to come out and see the development of some of the young players that are going through spring ball right now.
Yeah, especially since there are some new ones to learn about. It's a chance to get some early learning, see those guys out there, see what hopefully we can expect for this coming fall. They've got seven more practices before they get to that spring game, so I'm sure there's a lot of progress that's even going to be made between what they've done so far and that Saturday morning. But it should be a fun time on April 18th.
We also need to thank and talk a little bit about Brent Barnett and the work he does every week helping us out behind the scenes here with our giveaways and things. Our sideline reporter from this past season. Also Darren Perkins, our engineer at KXCV, KRNW, for all the work he does every week to make this show a reality as well. I know those two guys do a lot of work that you don't hear about, but very integral to what we do here.
Absolutely. You know, Brent's been putting smiles on people's faces with